Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And so it begins again. Football is back. Fans are back in stadiums. There's plenty to be optimistic about if we look ahead to the new Premier League season. Although, if you're a Norwich fan, I won't mention too loudly the opposition tomorrow because obviously Norwich don't have a particularly great record against Liverpool and some of their players are slightly scary. But hopefully Danny Moxon, who joins us, is a Liverpool fan, founder of the Coppite as well, will be able to maybe give us some reasons to be cheerful from a Norwich perspective. And we're also joined by Norwich City fan Paul Usher. Paul, we'll start with you then. In terms of the season, I think we have to start with fans, don't we? And their return to stadiums. First and foremost, are you going to be at Carrow Road tomorrow? And second, if so, how excited are you to be back after what has been such a long absence?
You just asked me that question, Connor. It's just made the hair stand up on my arms. I'm just so excited about it. Yeah, of course, I'll be there tomorrow. I'm in Lower Barkley. And it's all about, yeah, obviously the match, but the day as well, isn't it? Meeting up with your friends, having a beer beforehand in the pubs and, you know, going to the match. And yeah, just I think that moment walking through the turnstiles into the ground is, yeah, it's going to be quite emotional, actually. The return of fans is just, I think this period of time has shown us how essential fans being in the stadium are to watching football and the atmosphere. And yeah, I'm buzzing for it. I'm absolutely so excited to go and see the match tomorrow, no matter what the score is. Liverpool probably beat us 5-0, but I don't care. I'm just looking forward to the day.
It does feel like kind of whatever happens, people are going to, and look, the game could completely spoil what I'm about to say, but it does feel like people are going to walk out with a smile on their face regardless, because that return to football, that the noise, the first on the ball City is going to be magnificent, isn't it? It's it does make you feel slightly, I think you summed it up perfectly there, emotional. In terms of sort of that return, does it get better than this back in the Premier League playing Liverpool? Like you said, the odds are stacked against Norwich City, but for all the reasons you've kind of documented, perhaps away from the football, the focus is going to be on the fans, isn't it? Maybe then more so on the pitch. Obviously, the game's on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just going to be an amazing moment, like you say, the fans returning, the Barkley full. I don't know whether there's plans to have all the flags like we had a couple of seasons ago. But it's like we've never been away, isn't it? We're back in the Premier League. The last time, I think, was Leicester at home in February 20. I was at that game, never thinking I wouldn't be back for 18 months. So it's quite an incredible moment, really. Like you say, you know, a lot of attention is going to be on the fans, the full crowd at Carrow Road, full capacity stadium. It's great that away fans are there as well. That makes a game, you know, that's essential for an atmosphere as well. So it's great Liverpool fans will be there. And yeah, I think no matter what happens on the pitch, it's going to be all about the day. It's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, I'll throw it across to you then, because I've seen footage of a few pre-season friendlies, one of which I think was at Anfield, where it looks relatively full. I don't know in terms of capacity how full it was, but Liverpool fans, as Paul kind of said there, are going to travel to Carrow Road. There's going to be probably a few thousand of them in that corner. How excited do you get the sense that they are to return to an away stadium and to watch their team in the flesh?
Yeah, well, it's massive. Of course it is. As everything that Paul's just said there, I mean, just the occasion of having fans back in the stadiums, it's almost bigger than the match itself for the first one when you're going back. And to be honest, it's probably a good job that Liverpool are away for the opening day, because those couple of friendlies at Anfield, have been trialling a new entry system into the ground, and kickoffs have been delayed for both games because of people queuing outside the turnstile. So it's probably a good job we're away for the first game so that they can get that sorted out. But everything that you've already said there, I mean, obviously it does matter what the result's going to be, but regardless of the result, whether, as you say, Liverpool romp home or Norwich City spring a surprise, it's everyone's going to walk out of there just, we've experienced the match day again for the first time in, as you say, 18 months. And it's just been a long, long time coming, and I think everyone's excited.
Yeah, I'm saying this before a VAR incident completely steals headlines and we all get completely frustrated again. But, it does feel like the occasion is probably grander than the football. And there's not many football matches you can say that about. Dan, I'll come back to you. In terms of Liverpool and where they're at and how they're viewing this fixture, they have a very good record against Norwich. I didn't want to use his name this early on because the Norwich fans watching may be scared off. But Luis Suarez is someone who's enjoyed this fixture. There you go. I think Paul sums it up quite nicely. So heading into this season and heading into this fixture more specifically with Norwich, where is the kind of Liverpool mood at? Because we've seen Manchester United make a couple decent signings. We've seen Manchester City obviously pay £100 million for Jack Grealish. Is there frustration in Liverpool camp? I know they've obviously brought in Konate from Leipzig, but is there a bit of frustration sort of looking elsewhere, maybe not looking at the squad and thinking it's been sort of strengthened significantly?
Maybe among certain sections, possibly. Certainly on social media, there is a lot of noise, looking around. As you say, rivals are spending so much money and strengthening their squad. Only yesterday, Chelsea added Lukaku in another, I think that was 97 million, was it? So another nearly £100 million transfer. So to see, City, United, Chelsea splashing the cash, and Liverpool, as you say, we have signed Konate, £37 million. He's looked very, very good in pre-season so far, so that's definitely a bonus. And if last season proved one thing, Liverpool were desperately in need of a new centre-back this summer, so I'm glad that that's been addressed. We're all very, very relieved that's been addressed. But there is a little sense of frustration, but at the same time, I think most of us recognise that Liverpool have never really been that club to, go, right, we've got £300 million this summer, let's just go and blow it on everyone and their mother. We've never really been that sort of club, especially under the new ownership. It has always been a little bit of a sell-to-buy arrangement. And that does frustrate some fans because obviously Liverpool, they are wanting to compete with those top teams, and it really, really is hard to when, as you say, they're throwing about stupid amounts of money on players. And Liverpool just aren't capable and aren't willing to do that. So it's going to be difficult to compete, but I mean, you look at the squad that we have now, and it's still largely the same squad that won the Premier League 2 years ago with a couple of changes. Still largely the same squad that won the Champions League 3 years ago as well. So, it's going to be difficult to compete, but I think Liverpool fans are still, by and large, pretty optimistic about the season.
Paul, I'll throw across a similar question to you. Obviously, in terms of spend, we're talking a lot more relative, but Norwich City have spent money. We've seen them do that this week. Obviously, Josh Sargent and Christoph Scholes, which is apparently the official club pronunciation, although I think that's still TBC. So we'll wait for the man himself to confirm it, but I'll go with Scholes for now. Is there excitement as a Norwich City fan about this season coming up? Is there still a bit of trepidation? Obviously, we all know what happened 2 years ago. Where do you kind of feel Norwich City are at the moment?
Yeah, it's probably a mixture of excitement and trepidation. I think the fear is always that what happened 2 years ago happens again. But I think we're much better equipped this time. You look at our defensive record in the Championship last season with Ben Gibson coming in and Giannoulis as well, really shored up that defence. I think we only conceded 36 or 37 in the league. So I think we're a lot better equipped defensively. I think the area that I'm a bit concerned about is that defence midfield position. Obviously, Ollie Skip was outstanding there last season, absolutely brilliant. So do we need a replacement for him in there? Will he come back perhaps on loan, which would be great? I think looking forward, obviously, we lost Emi. We lost Buendia, which was really sad. He was an absolute magician for us, wasn't he? One of our best players I've ever seen play for Norwich, I think. But, our recruitment's been good. I think Scholes, if I've pronounced that right, looks like a really good prospect. Whether he'll hit the ground running straight away or not is another matter. I think Sargent looks like a good backup for Pukki, which he may prove to be. He can play out on the wing as well. And obviously Rashitska, which, seems ages ago that we signed him now, doesn't it? But I think he's a good prospect. So I think we've kind of replaced Emi's talent with those three players. So for me, it's excitement looking ahead to the new season because we've got these new signings. We have spent a bit of money. We've spent, I think it's over 50 million if you include Giannoulis and Gibson in that as well, which is a lot of money for Norwich City, a lot of money. So we are excited to see those new signings. I think we just got a couple of areas we need to shore up on. But yeah, it's excitement ahead of the new season. I think we're better equipped than last time, certainly.
How important is patience going to be this season, particularly in the early start? I mean, look at the first four games, Liverpool, Manchester City, Leicester, Arsenal. I mean, welcome back to the Premier League, Norwich City. That's kind of a case of that, isn't it? Daniel Farke has obviously already spoken about it maybe being a little bit bumpy. Obviously, we had all the corona. Well, we had the coronavirus outbreak in pre-season that has left that feeling very disjointed. So, as a Norwich fan, Norwich fans more generally, how important is patience going to be, particularly sort of in the opening weeks of the season, maybe sort of August? I'm really looking at there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the fixture computer didn't treat us very kindly, did it, with our first few games. But in a sense, you know, we're playing, as you say, we're playing Liverpool, Man City, Leicester before the transfer window closes. In a sense, perhaps that's not a bad thing, to be playing some of the top teams and not facing the teams that will be in and amongst us down the bottom, probably. So I think that's not a bad thing, because we may catch those teams a little bit cold, perhaps. A lot of those teams have had players away in international duty and face similar problems to us pre-season. But I think we do need to be patient. I think we need to be patient towards the end of the transfer window, when perhaps that defensive midfielder, that centre-back that we all want, will perhaps be signed. You know, we could go into September with three defeats. You know, that is a possible outcome. I think we might nick a point or three somewhere along the line. But yeah, we need to be patient, and we need to be looking at those teams around us when we play them, to be getting those points off those teams that will be in and amongst us, probably in that bottom half of the table.
Yeah, it does look like a kind of a favourable run running into autumn, doesn't it, that Norwich City have? And like you said there probably is an argument somewhere about this maybe being a good time to play these teams. Manchester City don't have Harry Kane yet, for example. That may be a positive, because I think that's a fairly scary prospect if that is a deal that gets done. Danny, I'll kind of throw that over from your perspective then. I'll ask this from kind of a Norwich City view. Is this a good time to play Liverpool? We've seen obviously Andy Robertson out injured. Virgil van Dijk is slowly kind of stepping up his recovery. Is there a case to be made that actually, if you're going to play Liverpool at any time, it's the opening day of the season?
Quite possibly. To be honest, the last few pre-season games, especially Liverpool, have looked a lot sharper. And I think we do look ready to start the new season. And I would certainly still be confident of a Liverpool win. That said, I personally never like playing a newly promoted team on the first day, because you always know one of them's going to spring a shock and you never, ever want that to be against you. So, and I remember two seasons ago, the last time Norwich City were in the Premier League, yes, it was a comfortable win on paper for Liverpool, but the actual performance itself, I remember everyone, including myself, looked at that performance and went, if Norwich City do this whole season, they'll be absolutely fine. Obviously, that didn't turn out to be the case. But If things sort of went ever so slightly differently, that could have been a very, very different result on the day. I remember Norwich City played really, really well and impressed a lot of people. So all it takes is for the same thing to happen again, but maybe get a little bit more luck in front of goal for Norwich or something like that. And yeah, it could be a tricky opening game.
Yeah, two teams with different ambitions. That's fair to say this season. What do Liverpool need to do differently to what they did last season? Was there enough mitigation with Van Dijk, with sort of the sheer amount of games that this squad had played across a 3-year period? I mean, you mentioned the Champions League win. A lot of that squad was pretty much the same. A lot of the starting 11 was pretty much the same as the one that subsequently went on to win the Premier League. We spoke about additions. They've made small but decent additions in kind of positions that are needed. So what will be the difference this season for Liverpool to compete for the title again and get perhaps a little bit closer to Manchester City, for example?
Well, with any luck, we'll have some senior centre-backs to play with. That'd be nice. Make a nice change compared to last season. To be honest, as you say, it is largely the same squad, and there is a little bit of a worry that they've sort of been running to the ground a little bit, because obviously the style of play that we're playing with Jurgen Klopp is very intense. There's a lot of pressing involved there. And I mean, it just speaks to the superhuman endurance of some of the players that we have, the fact that they're able to, you know, still walk, never mind run, after the few seasons that they've had. But as you say, we've added sort of shrewdly and very sort of in drips and drops here and there over the last few windows. Obviously, as we've said, Konate is the only new addition so far this summer. I still feel like we need one or two names in, especially considering Shaqiri looks like he's on the verge of leaving. There's a lot of talk about possibly Divock Origi leaving there, and that's two attacking options that we're going to have less. We're going to be losing Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah for potentially up to a month for the African Cup of Nations partway through the season. So the lack of attacking options is really quite worrying. So I feel like there does still need to be additions. Otherwise, I am a little bit worried that Liverpool might burn out at some point. But in terms of first 11, if he could play in the first 11, 38 games a season for the Premier League, I would be confident that Liverpool could compete with the best of them and possibly win the title. It's the squad depth that worries me slightly, and I know that it worries a lot of other people as well, and I think that's Liverpool's biggest concern so far going into the season.
I think a player that Norwich City fans saw a bit of last season in the Championship, Harvey Elliott, I remember a very good goal he scored against Norwich at Ewood Park. Where is his kind of position in this Liverpool team? He's obviously not gone out on loan. Is he a player that, I mean, you mentioned the squad depth there. Is he someone that is ready now to step into one of those wide roles and make a significant contribution for Liverpool? Or would you expect him to still move out on loan before sort of the window closes?
No, I think he's ready. And I think from the noises that Jurgen Klopp's been making about Harvey Elliott whenever he's been asked about him, I think he believes the same. I think he's going to be in and around the squad. As mentioned, when Salah and Mane are missing, possibly at the same time early next year, that might be an opportunity where Elliott comes in, has a bit of a run of games and maybe has a go at, well, it's going to be a hard task dislodging one of that front three from a regular spot, isn't it? But you never know. All he has to do is have a good run of games, and he's clearly got the talent. Everyone's seen it. He's a remarkable young lad. Really, really exciting prospect for Liverpool. We've got quite a few, but Elliott really is the one that we're hoping for big things from.
Yeah, he looked terrific against Norwich on that occasion. I think he actually came on off the bench and kind of swung the momentum in Blackburn's favour before Norwich got a crucial, I think it was a third goal, but I'm kind of speaking from memory here. All the games from last season seem to merge into one, to be completely honest. Paul, I'll come to you. There's been a lot of chatter on social media, probably elsewhere as well, about maybe what system Norwich City are going to play going into the season. We've seen Daniel Farke go with a 3 in pre-season. We've seen him go with a 4-3-3. How do you think you'll kind of approach this game against Liverpool, and how much of it will probably hinge on, obviously we're recording this before the press conference, on the fitness of Grant Hanley and maybe those affected by coronavirus who haven't had an awful lot of minutes in pre-season, and how ready they are to sort of step back into the fold?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Connor. I think it's Grant Hanley's probably a key figure in terms of how we'll line up. I do wonder whether maybe going with three at the back, three centre-backs in this game might be the better option. Two reasons for that. I think if Grant Hanley is to come back into the team, it may be good to have Omobamadeli and Gibson alongside him in defence, just to kind of that extra fitness that they've got above him. So he's got an extra centre-back there to support him. And also the fact we haven't really recruited a defence midfield to replace Skip as well. I wonder whether going with three centre-backs might work in this first game. But I think we're going to see a very different team in these first couple of games to what will probably emerge and evolve over the season. I'd like to think with the attacking signings we've made that we'll eventually go to a back four with the two midfielders and then three kind of more attack midfielders supporting the lone striker. I do wonder as well whether Pukki's going to start tomorrow. It may be that either Adam Eder or perhaps even Josh Sargent might start. You know, he's already played a couple of games, I think, for Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga 2 this season. So perhaps Farke will go with one of those to start, with Pukki being an option off the bench, considering he's barely had a pre-season. So I think it's the press conference will be really interesting today, Connor, for you guys to attend. But I don't think Farke will give him too much away, but it'll be interesting to see how they line up tomorrow. I don't think we can really predict a team at the moment.
Yeah, there's always that nice moment at the start when he gets asked any team news, and if he comes back with, usually there'll either be a sigh and you think, right, here we go, or yeah, it's usually a little smile and no, we're all good. And that's when I think you can sort of breathe a little bit more, so to speak. It's interesting what you said there in terms of the formation, because I think since Farke has been at Norwich, really, we've seen... We know he's not particularly wedded to a particular system. He's played a few. Do you get the sense that this season it's going to be about variety and fluidity and flexibility with Norwich City? And certainly the signings seem to suggest that, don't they? They don't necessarily seem to be maybe in the same direction that they were 2 years ago, when it was going to be, OK, we've got promoted and now we're going to do exactly the same thing that we did in the Championship. It feels like it's maybe geared towards slight tactical tweaks here and there.
Yeah, I think Farke's learned from last time in the Premier League, where it was quite a rigid system that we had, and we went to attack teams, didn't we? And perhaps that was a little bit naive. I think we'll adapt the system as we go through the season. I think that probably last time in the Premier League there was a plan to maybe play three at the back in certain games, but we had one centre back all season. You know, I heard Dan saying about Liverpool having no centre backs last season. It was the same for us last time in the Premier League. I think we had two games where we had two fit centre backs the whole season or something like that. It was ridiculous. So I think that, yeah, the system may be quite fluid this season. I think against some of the top teams, we need to realise that we need to be defensively sound in the first instance and try and nick a goal as opposed to kind of going up against them, so to speak, in attack, which last time, obviously, Dan mentioned the Liverpool game on the first game of the season, we kind of went for it and were 4-0 down by half time. But, you know, we all like to see that attacking football from Norwich, but I think it'll be sensible for Farke to kind of adapt things depending on who we're playing this season a little bit.
Yeah, you've both referenced that game at Anfield. I've got vivid memories of kind of being stood in the away end at half time and kind of going, well, Norwich haven't actually played too badly. This is a little bit strange that they're 4-0 down, but they won the second half, didn't they? Although I think that was the line that Daniel Farke came out with. Just staying with you then, Paul, for a moment, just speaking about Andrew Omabamadele for a minute. He is obviously, it's been a really rapid rise for him, maybe not completely, well, some of it through accident, but he's certainly taken that opportunity. He's come back to Colney in a good shape and certainly impressed Daniel Farke and his coaching staff. How big of an opportunity is this for him to lay down a marker? Still only, what, 19? I think he was only 19 last month, so still incredibly young. Certainly the noises from the club is that he boasts a better physical profile at this age than Ben Godfrey did when he was 19. There's a lot of excitement around him. We kind of got a snippet against Newcastle maybe of some of the good sides, but also some of the inexperience at times as well. We know Daniel Farke is willing to give young players a chance. I think anyone that's watched Norwich since he became sort of head coach will be able to tell you that. How big of an opportunity is this going to be for him in the opening weeks of the season if he does get called upon?
Yeah, I think it's a massive opportunity for him. I mean, as you say, Farke's not shy to kind of pit these young players into the team and to give them opportunities. But he wouldn't give an opportunity if he wasn't good enough. And I think those games at the back end of last season, which, you know, we're part of the title run-in. We still had to win games to get promoted, to win the league. And he was a big part of that. You know, he stepped in when Gibson was injured and Zimmerman was injured as well. And I think he's pushed himself up in the pecking order, probably ahead of Zimmerman now. And I think it's a great opportunity for him. I think we need to not put too much pressure on him. He will make mistakes. He's a young defender. Like you say, he's only 19. But yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for him. He looks really good, sharp, quick. Good in the air, good in the tackle. Like you say, if you're going to make a comparison with Ben Godfrey, he had limited experience last time he came into the Premier League. And look at what happened with him. Although he went down, he had a great season, got the move to Everton, and is now being talked about as a £50 million player, England international, that sort of thing. So, you know, I think it's a great opportunity for Omabamadele, Andrew, as we might call him Andy sometimes, don't we? Yeah, great opportunity for him to really make his mark this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Danny, there'll be plenty of people watching this, obviously the majority of which from a Norwich City persuasion, looking through the Liverpool starting lineup and going, and probably their maybe predictions, maybe adding a few goals to their predictions as they get down the starting 11. I think that's maybe fair to say. So if you're a Norwich City fan at the moment and you're looking ahead to tomorrow's game, what are the reasons from a Liverpool perspective to kind of be optimistic that Norwich can get a result? I'm kind of asking you to look at the weaknesses of Liverpool, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. One big miss for Liverpool is certainly going to be Andy Robertson. He's out for a few weeks. He's picked up an injury in pre-season, which is unfortunate, especially considering we've already talked about the sort of the level and the number of games that a lot of the first team players have had to sustain over the last few years. Robertson, pretty much top of the pile of the lot. He's played so many games over the last few years. It's a wonder how he hasn't already pulled up with an injury. And this one's an impact injury as well. It's not as though, you know, his muscles are giving up or anything like that. But so he will be missing for the game, which is a blow for Liverpool. That said, Kostas Tsimikas, another Greek who starts with a TS, if that helps with the pronunciation. But he's looked one of Liverpool's sharpest players in pre-season. Him and Minamino between them, two players who people were sort of wondering whether or not they really had a future on the field. I know it's only pre-season, but they've been two that have really, really caught the eye. So Tsimikas will certainly be starting. So maybe that's some way you could exploit the fact that we will have a key player missing in that defence. As you say, Van Dijk and Gomez have appeared now in pre-season. Whether or not they're ready to start a game, I'm not sure. I think it's more likely to be Konaté and Matip starting as the central defensive pair, which obviously they've never played together before, so that could be a potential problem, potentially something that Norwich could exploit. They're clearly not used to playing against one another. And it will be Konaté's debut as well. So maybe he won't be quite as used to the system. Because Klopp does really demand quite a lot of his centre-backs, and that was kind of the downfall last season, really, with the fact that Phillips and Williams, who came in and did a fine job considering the circumstances, but without wanting to be too harsh on them, they're both quite limited defenders. They're not going to be, you know, pinging 60-yard passes out to the wingers or dribbling 40 yards out of defence. It very much sort of, you know, without wanting to be too cliche, they're very headed, kick it defenders, basically. Obviously, Matip and Konaté are the opposite of that. They are both very good with the ball at their feet. They've both proven that. But as a new pairing, that could be something that Norwich could look to exploit.
Interesting stuff. Paul, I'm going to come to you first in terms of predictions and how you feel the game will go. I'll try and give you a little bit of confidence before you kind of speak and just reference that last Liverpool game at Carrow Road, where I think it was 1-0, wasn't it, to Liverpool. They scored relatively late on. I remember Lucas Rupp having a wonderful chance in the first half, I think, that Alisson smothered. So maybe there are reasons within there to be optimistic, certainly from a Norwich perspective and probably more so from a Liverpool perspective. But let's start with you, Paul. How do you kind of see this one going on Saturday? Like you said, the return of the fans is going to be the big thing, but looking to kind of on the pitch, how do you see Norwich City faring against Liverpool?
Well, I really dislike making predictions about Norwich, but you know, you've called me onto the show to make a prediction, so I better go for it. I actually tweeted the other day to coin a phrase from our friend Chris Reeve, who runs Talk Norwich City. It reeks of Man City at home a couple of years ago, this game, for me. And I actually think we're going to spring a surprise. I think it, obviously, like 99% of the time, 99% of people are going to predict Liverpool win. But I think we're going to do something. So I'm going to stick my head neck out and go for a 2-1 Norwich win.
Do you know what, Paul? I absolutely love that. The fact that you've got, I tell you what, not very many Norwich fans that we had on here last season predicted Norwich wins. So that maybe is that gives you a decent gauge. And that was in a campaign where they got what, 97 points or whatever. So it's glad to see we're kickstarting with a bold Norwich City prediction. And who knows, that Carrow Road crowd could be a bigger element than maybe we've spoken about. Danny, I'll come to you from a Liverpool perspective then. You're going to be missing the game, aren't you? But how do you kind of see this one panning out from a Liverpool perspective?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm moving house when the game's on, which is disappointing. But yeah, I mean, certainly having the Carrow Road crowd back for the first time in such a long time, that could certainly play a part. And I'm certainly not going to suggest that it's going to be an easy game. After all, as you say, we don't have Luis Suarez anymore to score his obligatory hat-trick at Carrow Road. But But I would still be confident. If Liverpool are at the races, Liverpool should have enough quality to win the game. But yeah, like we said, even though Liverpool won this opening fixture two seasons ago at Anfield, Norwich City certainly played well and scared us at some points, especially in that second half. So and of course, yeah, the Man City win, which was remarkable. I remember watching that. I still think Liverpool have enough. I'll go for it. An absolute repeat of last time. I'll say 4-1 Liverpool win.
Ooh, lovely. So I actually think it'll be a lot tighter than maybe some people expect. I think you're probably right, Danny. I think Liverpool may nick it. I'm not going to give any score predictions, but I think it will be relatively tight because of all the things we've spoken about. But I'm really glad to see you both back in your teams, which is excellent. let us know what you think down below in the comments in terms of score prediction. Let us know if you're going to Carrow Road as well and how excited you are to return, or perhaps you're not one of the ones that feel ready to take that step yet. And again, let us know in the comments as well. It's intriguing to get those perspective. Of course, pinkin.com, the place to go. We'll be at Carrow Road on Saturday. All the analysis and reaction, Daniel Farker quotes and all that good stuff will be on our website. Thank you to Danny and Paul for joining me. The first one of the season. I think we've kicked off with a good one. Thanks for watching. See you soon.